Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love the lies. Feline, with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
You know, yesterday, we asked the Astros to do really one thing. Let's have a stress-free afternoon. They had a afternoon start. They're trying to win the series against the Blue Jays. All we asked for was for them to provide us with an easy afternoon because the previous two games had a lot of stress. They're blowing leads. One goes to extra innings. They have a clutch home run for Yiner. We weren't looking for that yesterday. And you know what? They came through, but not in the way we wanted. They get beat 6-0. Gausman shuts them down. They had one rally that where they tried to make it interesting. I think it might have been the fourth inning, maybe the third inning. And after that, it was a no-go. They were completely overmatched, and they lose the game and the series and their lead. At least their sole possession lead of the ALS. So it started early. Christian Walker couldn't make a scoop as there was a tapper and Javier made a play, got off the mound, threw the ball to Walker. He couldn't make the scoop. George Springer beat it out. And then Jesus Sanchez was like, you know what? Oh, we're doing this today? We're going to misplay balls? We're gonna screw up defensive opportunities? All right, I'm all in. He had his part to play early and late. The later one, big deal anyway. The game was over. The Astros weren't scoring. So it was an all-around failure offensively, defensively. And you lose 6-0 in a game where it was more about the vibes. Hey, you wanted to win. You wanted to win the series against one of the top teams in the AL. But a series win against them would have been more for the vibes than any real consequence as far as the season is concerned, because what you got a 15 game run up until a potential playoff berth, and hell, it was going to go down to the wire. You got destiny in your own hands because you play your AL West rivals. This one was to get everyone to feel good. Despite all the issues, you could go take two or three from one of the best teams of baseball. And instead you go out rather meekly and then you wait around. I'm sure the Astros may have been back by the time the Mariners game ended. And the Mariners, after jumping out to a 4-0 lead, were down four, or excuse me, tied the game, but the Angels tied the game at four, and then we go in extra innings. The Angels score, the Mariners answer. Then the Angels score again, and the Mariners answer. And their final answer leads them to tying the ALS. And you know it's a big deal for them because you're going to hear it in the play-by-play guy's voice once it gets done. So here's the Mariners last night coming back and beating the Angels and tying the Astros for first place in the AL West.
Give me a sack, Harry. What did you ask for? Is it deep enough? Polanco is on his way home. Here it comes. He's safe. Harry Ford. Harry Ford. Welcome to the big leagues. The Mariners are in first place.
Ford did not waste any time.
I believe.
Jumps on that very first pitch.
The guy asking for another man's sack is Aaron Goldsmith. at least a sack from Harry.
Hmm?
He give me a sack, Harry. That's what he said.
So he wanted Harry's sack.
Yes, at least he wanted
a Harry sack.
I don't know. I didn't even think of that. Actually, that wasn't even part of my my
someone
thought.
Call it. Yes,
someone call it. He asked for Harry's sack, at least a sack from Harry, and Aaron Goldsmith got it. So there it is. We're tied with the Mariners. And I asked the guys as we were ending the show, by the time this weekend is over, do the Astros even have a tie for first place? I'm not sure. They got a guy named Jaden going today. If that was a football player, I'd be like, oh, cool. Jaden's can be successful. Not so much last night for Jaden Daniels, but Jaden's generally have put on good performances in football. Don't know that about baseball, though. Don't know many Jadens who have who've gone out there and got it done when we needed it the most. We're gonna see.
No. If it's football, basketball, karate, I think. I think I'll go with the Jaden.
And one of the many offshoots of Karate Kid.
Yes.
The Jaden Smith edition.
She's a kid. Got moved to China, I think.
Something like that. But Jaden Murray, he appears in line to start for the Astros.
The Murray era.
Don't feel great about it.
Jaden Sanity?
Nope. I don't think he'll get enough starts for that to be a thing. Unless he comes out tonight.
There's an open spot for him. If he wants to take it, there's an open
spot. If he wants to take a spot in the rotation, there are certainly available spots for him. If he shows out tonight. So it'll be Jaden Murray starting for your Astros tonight against Atlanta. And he does have two scoreless relief appearances for the Astros.
Sweet.
Since he got called up. He got called up earlier this month. So he is a former starter, but he's only been in relief this year. So he probably won't be a guy who gives you 4 or 5. He may be an opener of sorts.
Okay.
And then blue ball you might see as well today. So there we are. Murray and blue ball.
Attorneys at law.
Yeah, just fills you with confidence, right? Blue ball, actually, I like. I don't know much about Murray as far as, you know, a pennant race, and now he's depended on to get you through a couple of innings.
I'll be interested in blue ball because, I mean, talking about there's an open spot in the rotation if someone wants to snatch it. Blue ball would be the favorite I'd put right now. If I had to put odds on it, I think I was like, well, blue ball has at least shown me something as an Astro going, and especially I think it was like 5 innings. Like, okay, that's at least something. The rest of these guys I'm less sure of, but it does feel like you're going to need the random Astros offense avalanche night where they score like 8. And then for the rest of the series, they score 2. I feel like that's the recipe for success, at least for Friday.
So it'll be Jaden Murray tonight, Hunter Brown on Saturday, and Fromber on Sunday.
Okay.
This weekend. So you would
think. Gotta get Saturday.
You would see. If Fromber wasn't what he has been, I would say you feel pretty good about Saturday and Sunday. But I don't feel good about Sunday. Yeah. I don't at all. You have to get Saturday. And hopefully Murray surprises all of us.
Or one of these other guys just implodes.
Yeah.
The Braves guys.
Yeah, let's root for a Braves disaster more than Astros excellence, I guess we would say.
The whole question of will the Astros be at least tied in the AL West by the time the morning show starts on Monday? I mean, to me, that's like just a question of, do you think you can win 2 out of 3 against these guys?
And you would think with your top two, at least a name, at least in
reputation.
In reputation, you would think your top two can go get you, at least put you in a spot to win against the Braves. But
Can we get Jason Alexander on short rest or something?
We got him for the Rangers series. So,
oh, okay.
So he's
Yeah,
we actually want him there.
Battle for second place. Okay.
Yeah, so I would love to have him in this series because all the games matter, but we do have him against the Rangers to start off that series. So we will hope that our hero continues to show up. But we got to get to him in a spot where we're in a where the other guys have done their job, and then he can just add on. I don't want him to be the stopper again. I don't want him to come off a loss from the previous night and then have him be out there to shut down a potential losing streak. I would like maybe for him to extend a winning streak.
Yeah. It's can we get to four straight wins with Jason Alexander on the hill?
Yeah.
That'd be a nice spot and unexpected.
And as far as your random Astros offensive outbreak, the last time it happened was against Texas almost a week ago. Last Saturday, they scored 11. Since that point, 2-3-3-0.
Yeah. I think they can win with like 3 on Saturday. So if we can get 11 on the board, I feel good.
I would, you know, if you want to split them up between tonight and Sunday.
Read back the last week of Astros results. It's splitting them up. Yes, it'd be nice if they could just score 6 every day.
Yeah, I don't need. Yeah, because I got Hunter Brown. Just give me 4 on Saturday.
We'll see. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, they haven't scored 4 more than 4s or 4 or more since 11. And before that. It went back to the third where they scored 8 against the Yankees. Yeah, it's very random.
It is just one night of avalanche offense,
and then go back to nonsense.
Putrid for the next week, and then here we go. They all hit the home runs in the same game.
You know,
cool.
And I'm looking at it. You know, even in their wins against Colorado, going back to late August, it was 4 runs, and then they lost the first game of the series when they only scored 1. So, yeah. Yep. Let's hope for a random event for one of these games, and then maybe you get a great pitching performance in the other game so you can win a game like 2-1 or something.
Yeah, that's their path to victory for really not it's not against the, it's not anything specific about the Braves who are pretty disappointing, actually very disappointing this year for the Braves by Braves standards. It is just an Astros thing. If you could, like you said, you can put the Rockies in front of them. You can put the Yankees in front of them. You can put the Blue Jays in front of them. You're going to get the same thing of maybe there's one game where they score a million runs and then they won't be able to score more than 4 for the other games of the series. That's just who they are. And that's how they've given up this lead is because they don't have a skill that they can hang their hat on. They don't have an aspect of the game where they're like, boom. We know every night going into the ballpark we have elite starting pitching. You don't know that. You know that two nights out of the week, Hunter Brown and Jason Alexander starts. You don't know that you have an awesome bullpen where you just need to get a lead and the bullpen will hold on to it because before what was it Wednesday's game, Brian Abreu had been a very unreliable closer. And then you also, as we've outlined with the offense, every day walking into the ballpark, you don't know what you're going to get from your offense. Maybe it is the 11-run game. But chances are, the other 6 days of the week, it's going to be 4 or less. So there's no, you know, hang-your-hat skill on that this Astros team has. That's hard to win games when you don't have one consistent aspect of your team that you can depend on.
I was trying to figure out the comp for what Jesus Sanchez was doing out there yesterday in the outfield. Like, what's the cross-sport comparison? Because certain mistakes get you benched. Like, if you commit a couple personal foul penalties, the coach will pull you off the field. In college, sometimes it's maybe automatic. You commit a personal foul penalty, you get yanked off the field for at least a play. I'm trying to think, what's a benchable offense in baseball? Like, if you don't run out a grounder, they may sit you the next or pull you out of the game or sit you the next game. If you botch 2 plays as badly as he did, although there's some confusion with the first one, who called off who, whatever, but the play didn't get made. There's no confusion on the second one where he was terrible. What's it gonna take? What would it take for him to get benched? I can't think of anything comparable. Like a center can botch a couple snaps, but they'll keep their job because the backup center's probably much worse.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is, but that can't happen.
It's like Wizards era JaVale McGee nonsense you have to do where you're like running back on defense even though your team still has the ball.
Something like that. I don't know. But that's how bad it was from Jesus Sanchez yesterday. It was a comedy of errors and it started early and it kept going. But hell, you didn't score a run, so it wasn't going to matter either way. So the disappointing Braves tonight, let's hope that the Astros can take advantage of the Braves being in town, because I think the Mariners had their way with the Braves. So it would be good for the Astros to do the same thing. Yeah, the Mariners took 2 out of 3 from the Braves, scoring 18 and 10. So you will see how random the Astros' lack of scoring is, and also when they do score in comparison to what the Mariners did to the Braves. The two games they won against the Braves, they scored 18 and 10 runs. They won 18-2 and 10-2 in the last week or so. I don't expect the Astros to combine for 28 runs over the course of two games, but it would speak to how one lineup is doing against the other if the Astros go out there and can't top out over about four. If they can't top or go over four runs in a game this series, it just speaks to how the Mariners are playing as their winning streak continues and how the Astros are playing. But momentum is only as strong as the next pitcher. And our next pitcher, starting pitcher, is Jaden Murray.
Jaden Momentum Murray.
Let's let him earn that nickname. Let's have him earn that nickname.
I'm trying to scroll back to see how far I have to go before the Astros have scored 28 runs
over the
combined.
Course of 2 days.
Good no, luck. No,
oh,
just,
combined. Period.
Just,
okay.
Is it 7 days? Where and there's an 11 mixed in there. Thank God for the 11. Well, that saves him a lot of embarrassment.
Sean will have his answer or your answer for that particular question he posed himself. How long did it take for the Astros to score 28 runs?
How far back do I have to go?
Yeah, how many days
so
back?
I can count up 28.
Yeah, and the Mariners did it over two games against the Braves, who are now in town, as the Astros are tied for first with those suddenly hot Mariners, and the Rangers not that far behind. We're talking about winning the division. We are in real danger of watching this team not make the playoffs.
The Rangers series
is giant.
I don't want to say it's more important than the Mariner series.
They're equally important.
But you got to get the Rangers on. You have to not fall out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and they felt like a near certainty, and now we're actually questioning it with 15 games to go. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll hear from the Texans when we come back. There is a lot of sound from them. They were back on the practice field yesterday and also available to the media. And the tone is kind of interesting because the Texans are being asked questions they probably really haven't been asked since DeMeco Ryans took over. Questions about whether they're still together, questions about confidence going forward. It's year three, and you lose the first game of the season, and now those questions are starting to be asked. So we'll hear from DeMeco Ryans on whether his team is together or still together or not, and how they plan to respond from their week one loss. We'll do that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Updates. Well, at least particularly one. Christian Kirk did not practice again yesterday. He looks like he's on track to miss his second game of the season. So we will see kind of what we saw on Sunday against the Rams as far as the lineup. You'll see Higgins and Noel will certainly be out there, and of course Hutchinson as well. But Christian Kirk, your big acquisition in the wide receiver room, looks like he won't be available for the second week in a row. So the Texans were practicing yesterday, and after practice, they spoke to the media. And one of the questions was about whether they had to come together again after the loss to the Rams. I mean, they lost the game by 9 points on the road to the Rams. Did we think that they really were going to get pulled apart at the seams after losing one game? Did they need a moment in a players-only meeting? I mean, the Dolphins did that, but they got beat by 25, and Daniel Jones was the quarterback. So if they want to have a players-only meeting to say, hey, guys, we got to pick it up, fine. But the Texans, they lost by 5 points to the Rams, a playoff team last year. And I think DeMeco Ryans kind of echoes that, like, we didn't need to come together. We're already together. Here's D'Amico Ryans.
Our team is together. It's not, the building isn't burning down. We're together. We didn't execute right on some plays. It didn't turn out good for us. We ended up losing the game, but our team is together. Our team has never not been together. We're together. We're ready to go play on Monday night. That's what it's about for us.
If you couldn't tell, they're together.
I do kind of share D'Amico Ryan's, like, what is this question?
Yeah, what kind of question is that?
Did I fall asleep for, what, 2 months and wake up and they're 2-6?
And they're 1-7 or something?
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? I wish D'Amico Ryan's was a little bit more like what the hell are you guys talking about?
What impression was given that this team was one misstep away from falling apart?
Even, like, the general, like, vibe of the team of, like, man, CJ Stroud, you know, Jeremy Branham on Twitter being like, is the honeymoon over for CJ Stroud? Can I raise my hand and go, can he have a year where he doesn't win the division first? Like, can we ask that before 0-1? Like, instead of when they're 0-1?
They weren't the favorite.
That too.
They were not the favorite to win the game.
When we were doing the going through the schedule, wins and losses, we all marked that as a loss.
Yeah.
Everyone did.
A close game that they would probably lose on the road to a playoff team.
No. On Friday, I don't think I listened to every show. And I think John probably did the homer thing where he picked the Texans. But I think everyone on Friday was pretty unanimous on the, like, it'll be a tough one. I'm not sure if they come out of L.A. with the win.
And it went kind of the way we thought. Yeah. Both defenses were the best units on the field. And, you know, a big turnover, both sides almost decide the game. Like, the Texans made a big stop as the Rams were driving to put it away. Azeez Ashere made his play, and then Landman made his play.
Yeah, Landman. Billy Bob. I think that this is just, like, I think when it's 14-9, people are just way more upset than
if it was like 27-24.
Or just like 24-19. Yeah. Like, you just add 10 points to the score.
Because you don't score a touchdown.
Yeah, it just, like, feels worse. Yeah. It just, like, people do not like defensive football. They just don't. That's, like a team being carried by their defense.
They it makes it seem like there's a problem.
Yeah.
If you, particularly when you like the quarterback, you have high expectations for the quarterback, and you have a big-time wide receiver who we expect to get a lot of targets on Monday. The assumption is, or at least the feeling is, that there's something really wrong when you only score 9 points. It's week one.
I don't know, dude. Can we play a team that didn't give the Super Bowl champions their best game
challenge in the playoffs?
In, like, the last like month of the season? Like, yeah. Not even the playoffs. Like, in the last part of the regular season. Like, what are we talking about? Is this team falling apart at the seams? What?
I wouldn't have thought that was a line of questioning about, are they sticking together after week one?
I'm trying to think of what team, like, could have lost or did lose week one, and, like, that would be, like,
I told you the Dolphins.
I guess, yeah.
The narrative about them was they were in real trouble, and they did everything they could to further that narrative. And in fact, the players got together just to say, hey guys, we're good, we're fine, let's just go, because they asked one of their leaders, hey, what, the players only meeting, what was that about? Hey, we just wanted to let everyone know we're good.
Yeah,
don't, like, panic. That was kind of the extent of the meeting. But other than a team that people were actually bearing before the year started, I don't think anyone looks at week one for the most part and goes, man, are we still together after losing, particularly if you lose a game by 5 points on the road? I didn't get that sentiment, but that's apparently.
You had the ball at the 20-yard line.
With the chance to win the game. Like, you had a chance to win the game.
Like, again, hats off to Landman. Can't wait for the new season.
Landman.
They were saying it, Landman, on the broadcast.
Okay.
On the CBS broadcast, giving a little wink-wink to Paramount
Plus.
Yeah,
the connection to Paramount, of course.
They should just do that, by the way, where it's like, they just mispronounce people's names, so it sounds like a show on their network.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, no, it would be hard to think of another one, but
They would go out of their way, like Braden Lioness.
Yeah, I was trying to think of an NCIS.
yeah, I don't know.
There's a new NCIS show, apparently.
I don't know how you get there.
because we're here in New Orleans, home of NCIS New Orleans.
Yeah, that's at least a smoother transition than just butchering last names to try to make a point that you have a particular show.
Two blue bloods of the NFL face off.
Speaking of blue bloods, Tom Selleck and blue stuff like that. All right, so this show's not panicking. Look, if you go 0-2, I would still think the team is together. Then you start to question. Because the percentages say you're not going to make the playoffs if you go 0-2. But that's a different conversation than is the team still together. I think they are. I didn't see it fraying after that the game.
That too. Like, this wasn't some team on the brink that, like, it's a veteran group ready to, like, make or break. And if this year doesn't go, like the Dolphins. Like, I guess the Dolphins, it felt too easy of, like, a punching bag because everyone's taking shots at them. But it is, like, a coach that is on the hot seat before the season.
A general manager's been there a very long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
A quarterback. Receiver that's rumored to want to be traded.
Yeah, a quarterback that's very polarizing, all those things. The Texans don't have any of that. It's not even comparable at all. Now, I would like them to win on Monday. That'd be great. Let's not go 0-2.
No, because the tenor, like, again, I still, like, wouldn't be full-on panic mode because I can look at the division they play.
Of course.
But it does become, like, it gets really serious for week 3. Like, that's when it's like you have to win.
If you drop 0-2 and you're going to Jacksonville, you got to win that game.
Yeah, but I don't know. Going into this game, like, there's a chance that, like, Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield, Emeka Buka, like, that's a good passing attack.
Vita Vea could wreck shop.
Yeah, well, this team can't run the ball anyway. Like, they can't run the ball.
True, so
having to go get Vita Vea, one of the best run stoppers in the league, is tough. I don't know. These guys can't run the ball anyway.
Big deal.
Yeah,
whoever,
big deal.
It doesn't matter who it is, I guess.
Oh, okay, so they get 3.2 yards per carry? Sick. No, but you look at Baker, Evans, and Abuka. That's not better than Stafford, Adams, Nacua.
No, and you have them at home.
Yeah.
As opposed to on the road. Yeah.
I just don't, like, I don't know. It's another good team, but it's not like some impossible task. Like, if the Chiefs lose to the Eagles, and they drop to 0-2, even then, you have to actually become 0-2. 0-1, no one is falling apart at the seams.
No, even the teams that you think are in real trouble don't believe they're in trouble.
No.
Because it's
one game.
It's week one of the season. There's a stat that they have to reverse. I'll give it to you when we come back, and there's sound attached to that stat, and the Texans are aware of it, C.J. Stroud in particular. So we'll play some sound from him when we get back, and I'll give you that stat that they would need to avoid if they want to be efficient offensively in week 2. So we'll hear from C.J. I'll give you that stat. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app and the official daily fantasy sports app of the Houston Astros. Maybe there's a couple squares for Jaden Murray if you want to get involved in that. I don't, because I think this is a big weekend in the state of Texas when it comes to college football. You got the Cougs taking on Coach Prime here tonight. You got A&M going to Ann Arbor, or not Ann Arbor, to South Bend to play Notre Dame. And then I guess this isn't in the state, but it's close enough. They're a semi-local team. The LSU facing off against the Florida Gators. So in these three games, give me Dean Connors to run for more than 60.5 yards tonight against Colorado. I like that. I think this is a team that wants to run the ball. I think Colorado is a team that I want to have them prove that they can stop the run before we get Wigman involved, before we get anyone else involved. Prove to me that he can stop the run. I really like Dean Connors, and I think he can rush for 61 yards. Moving on to A&M, Marcel Reed, 33.5 rushing yards. I think Notre Dame's a really good defense. I think that the Aggies will need to fire every bullet they have to move the ball against this defense, and I think using Marcel Reed's legs as a weapon is a way to do that. They haven't really had to do that so far, but looking at who they faced, it makes sense why you would want to save those hits on Reed until this big game. So give me more than 33.5 rushing yards for Marcel Reed. And Garrett Nussmeier taking on the Florida Gators. Give me 1.5 pass, or give me more than 1.5 passing touchdowns. I think that this has a possibility to get pretty ugly in Baton Rouge, depending on what the Gators, what energy the Gators bring coming off that loss. So whatever college game you want, whatever pro game you want, whatever basketball, when basketball comes back, whenever baseball, whatever sport really you want, you can find it on Prize Picks and you can make a little bit of money watching sports. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Okay, so the Texans were in plenty of They're in plenty of situations down a distance against the Rams that wasn't advantageous. If you noticed that and felt like they were in a lot of third and longs, you were right. They averaged over 10.7, they averaged 10.7 yards per third down against the Rams, which would have been 30th in football through week one. So you can't win that way. You can't be productive offensively that way. C.J. Stroud knows it. That entire offense knows it. Here's C.J. Stroud on the third and longs and what they need to do to avoid them.
Well, we got to help Kells out, man. I think that's my biggest thing personally, and I think for the guys is not giving. What play are you going to call on second and 15, second and 25? And we've had these problems for years, you know. So third and 14, third and 12, you can't live in that. And we do our coach a discourtesy of that when that's controllable by us. So I think that's a start. Personally, I got to be better just pocket movements and, you know, checking the ball down when I need to check it down. And at the same time, staying aggressive. So, I think we just need to build a rhythm early on better. And I think we'll be better.
If they could run the ball effectively, that would help. But I imagine the short passing game and throwing the ball a lot to Nico Collins will be the thing they try to do to solve their problems. Look, we talked about it earlier in the week. D'Amico Ryan's teams commit penalties. He has called it unacceptable, but it keeps happening. Through two-plus years, they're just a highly penalized team. Top five in penalties per game the first 2 years, and it didn't stop in week one with 11. So D'Amico Ryan's asked about these penalties. He was asked about them yesterday. And what's contributing to them? He has an answer for him, and he says all penalties are different.
Yeah, so many different penalties happen in that game. So it's like, which penalty you want to talk about? It's, you have some penalties where you're being a little too overly aggressive at times. Some penalties are technical where, you know, you're trying to be aggressive, hands come up a little bit. So things like that happen in the game, right? But the things you can't control for me are, the pre-snap penalties, right? Making sure we're in the right formation, no illegal shifts, no jumping off sides when we know. So it's just the pre-snap things. Those are the ones that are unacceptable to me because those we fully control those. So let's get those out of the way, and then let's see how we are. But aggressive penalties are going to happen. We're not losing our mind over that.
Yeah, the penalties are happening to the side of the ball less likely to overcome them. They are a more talented defensive unit, clearly, than offensively. So, you know, if they get hit with the 15-yard aggressive penalty, whether it be a personal foul or they get hit with a pass interference penalty, I have more faith in their defense figuring out a way to get out of that situation without giving up points than I do the offense overcoming something and scoring. And yet the offense is the one consistently putting themselves in bad spots. So I don't know if there's any real answer or really any real explanation for why a team commits penalties more than on average. It has just been consistent under D'Amico Ryans. His team's going to get hit with a lot of flags. It at some point could have been put at the feet of one particular offensive lineman, but he was playing in Green Bay last night and handled Michael Parsons pretty well. Michael Parsons against everyone else for the Commanders, not the same story. Josh Connerly, it's your second game as an NFL player. It's a tough matchup, Michael Parsons. Watching that game last night, maybe it's because I never took the Cowboys seriously. And, of course, Michael Parsons was always a great player. But watching him on a team that I actually will take seriously, it's scary, man. Watching him dominate a game by his mere presence and messing up plays because no one can handle him. And then I think to myself, the Packers are coached well. They got a good roster. There isn't the level of, I don't know what else to say, but laughter that I have when I watch the Cowboys and think about the Cowboys. I didn't really consider it in the abstract because I hadn't seen it on the field, but considering the Micah Parsons trade, but I look at it and go, yep, that looks like a team.
Yeah.
And he could, and he looks like the missing piece. And I never thought that with the Cowboys because why?
There's
why?
So many other pieces missing.
Yeah, there's so many other problems, whether it be McCarthy or Dak's health always in question. And there are certainly issues across that defense beyond Micah Parsons. This team last night, that Packers team, maybe it's the all-white. That look cool. Whatever it is, they just look like they're real.
Yeah.
And Micah might just be their version, this century's version of Reggie White when it comes to changing the complexion of a roster and making them a real Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not just Michael Parsons. Like, the Michael Parsons effect on the other pass rushers else. Who are also, you know, Lucas Van Ness. And, there's another one who's just giving a fit, I think 95 on the
Packers. Wyatt?
Yeah. And all the other Georgia guys they have. Another team that's like, hey, just give us Georgia guys. That'd be cool. Quay Walker? Yeah, bring them on down. I think that you watch a game last night and you're just like, oh. It also makes you feel a little bit better about the Lions, where it's like, oh, they might have just gotten a dose of the best team in the NFL right now, which it's week one and one game. So, you know, we're not handing them the trophy or anything, but they look like a really just filthy team. And there's a couple Jordan Love either bad throws or just mix-ups with his receivers where it could have been worse. Yeah. Like it was on the border of me turning it off for a little while. And then right as I was like, okay, this drive will decide whether I turn it off. Of course, that was the touchdown drive by the first touchdown drive by the Commanders. I was like, okay, I guess I'll just watch the rest of this. And it did feel like whenever the Packers wanted to, they could just turn on the we'll score on this drive button.
Yeah, the people who own stock in Matthew Golden, probably a little upset with Jordan Love last night. He cost him two long touchdowns, one that could have been a 90-plus yarder because of either an overthrow or an underthrow. But Matthew Golden's loss is Tucker Kraft's game. And by that, I mean my game as far as our fantasy football stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, well, I also had Jaden Reed.
Oh, no. You've lost him.
That was a tough one.
That was a tough one.
That yes. Touchdown, actually, never mind, called back. Yeah. By the way, broken collarbone.
See you in 2 months.
It's like, oh, okay, sweet. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that. Thank you, Jordan Love.
Yeah, so.
Jordan Love. Everyone talks about hospital balls. He literally threw a hospital ball.
He literally put someone in the hospital. So, is Jordan Love the... Like one question mark for the Packers? Can he play at a consistent level?
If that's your question mark,
it's a pretty that's a good one. Champagne problems.
Good problem to have.
Real champagne problems.
Because even
for the Packers.
You know, like someone who has gotten kind of grouped in or compared to him is CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud's not the question mark on the Texans. There's question marks. There's five of them right in front of him every play. Then there's one more behind him who he hands the ball off to. Who look good in week one, but we'll see with Nick Chubb. There's another question mark on the other side of number 12 on the field. There's a lot more question marks on the Texans. than on the Packers. And you see that, you know, in these primetime games, you saw that with the Bills and Ravens. You saw that last night with the Packers. We'll see with the Eagles and Chiefs, because both teams, they both played pretty well. Chiefs obviously lost. Eagles won on opening night. But that's another one where you start adding up teams. You're like, oh, man, there's probably five right now ahead of the Texans just off how they look right now. And obviously it's early, but it's also five teams that you would have had above them to start the season.
If this was college football, the Packers would be the number one team in the country. They beat up on the Lions and the Commanders, two playoff
games. Although, do it on the road.
Yeah, they're both home games.
Do it on the road.
Yep, that's
Danny
true.
Danny Cannell has a fifth. I don't know. I just picked a guy who has a controversial, who'll do a controversial ballot every once in a while.
Well,
Josh Pate. Josh Pate has a fifth.
No, he doesn't have you fifth.
He has South Florida fifth, actually. No,
it's not him. It's the model has you fifth.
Oh, okay.
That's what he says. It's not me.
It's
my model. So, you can't blame me. Blame the numbers. I don't know if Danny Cannell feels the same about NFC North teams that he feels about SEC teams. But if he did, then he would certainly take shots at the Packers for not punishing the Commanders more than they did. You know, it was only a 9-point win.
There was a second where, you know, get a touchdown. Get a onside kick, get a field goal, boom, Commanders win.
Yeah, getting an onside
just
kick.
Just do that.
Yeah, just get an onside kick.
Like 2% play now.
No one does that. I still am in favor of doing the whole treat it like 4th and 15. Hey, the onside kick is improbable, but I would like an improbable play that has a better chance of happening. Just make it, hey, treat it. You gotta start at your 25 or 30. And you got to gain 15 yards.
Because they changed the onside rule like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it like fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
It was like 10 or 12% success rate, which is like feels about right. And now it's like 2%.
For the sake of player safety, that's why they did it. So you don't get that longer run. Thumbs down from Sean. So for the sake of player safety.
Thank God football is now safe.
They've made, yeah.
that one play that happens every like fifth game.
Yeah. Tell it to Dietrich Wise and Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
Man. Both with DJ Wiseman and Austin Eckler. Forgot about him.
Yeah, Austin Eckler. I think, do we get Achilles on
that? They
said
Achilles injury, fear to be torn, which probably means it's torn. But they have not said officially, but you saw him. Non-contact, all the...
Yes, we've seen like 25 Achilles in the last 2 years.
And they all look the same.
Yeah.
We just didn't see the ripple, mostly because they had the socks on, but it all appeared to be something where Austin Eckler is going to be gone for the year. He certainly looked like he thought that as he was being helped to the locker room on a cart. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll start hour two when we come back. We'll get into the weekend that is in college football because we got big games. And other than our biases, because we have teams we root for, there are other big games. And I'll ask Sean, other than watching Texas play, what's he excited about this weekend? Because there's a lot to be, whether you are a fan of the SEC Or maybe you're a giant fan of Notre Dame. They've certainly got a test, and much different going 0-2 in college football than it is going 0-1 or 0-2 in the NFL. Even as far as your chances, as far as Notre Dame's real goal is to win a national championship, gets tougher if you go 0-2. So we'll talk about that when we come back. But before we get to the second hour of the show, I want to tell you a little bit about Monument Chevrolet. As always, when you're looking for a great car, there is really a great place in Pasadena to shop, Monument Chevrolet. They're off of Beltway 8 and 225. But if you want to do a little research, you can go to the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and see what they have to offer. Some things like this. If you're looking for an EV, you are really into EV vehicles and you're looking for something pretty cool, the EV Blazers are in stock now at Monument Chevrolet. And you can get up to $7,500 federal tax credit from Monument Chevrolet. Just look into it when you buy that EV. And they do have more. If you are looking for a Silverado 1500, it is truck month there. That means 2.9% APR for 72 months. When you look to buy that Silverado 1500, all those vehicles, great prices, great people are at Monument Chevrolet. So check out the entire inventory at monumentchevrolet.com and then head on out there in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. You're going to see these great people. They're going to make sure the car buying process is one that's cool, normal. They're not going to rush you. They're going to go at your own pace, but also get you into the best car or truck for you. That's Monument Chevrolet And as always, remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.